We did. We did. Bless you, Joe.
Bless his heart.
You know, you don't have to. Bless you.
This morning, Darren's message and everything, it reminded me of my boys, especially the oldest one, has really been involved with some kids with special circumstances for 25 years. Got several kids through school, and some of them all the way through college and all that. He's got another one that's a trouble one that lives down the street from him, and Jeremy's taking him and having to stay with him because the boy's mother can't control him and he wants to be out of school. And he listens to Jeremy. And Jeremy takes him to church and makes him try to understand. And one of the counselors called Jeremy the other day. They were talking about putting the boy in Human Services custody and this and that and the other. And Jeremy explained to her that he said, "Look, he's doing all right with me. And let's try this a while." He said, "I've done this for 25 years. I've got a lot of kids through college that would have never made it out of high school." And he said, "I'm good at this, and I just want you to leave me alone." She said, "Well, what do you, how's this going?" And Jeremy said, "Well, he goes to church with me, so he's in Methodist." And she said, "Well, now church is not for everybody." And Jeremy said, "Well, yes, it is." He said, "A relationship with Jesus Christ is for everybody." And he said that includes you.
That's right.
And she didn't really have a comment on that. And Jeremy said, "Yes, ma'am, that includes you. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you'll look at things a lot different."
That's right.
But our schools, our public schools, are not geared for that. And they used to be. When I was in school, at least 10 years ago, we had an invitation every morning. Every student in that class had to get up and do a Bible verse and lead a prayer. And we done the Pledge of Allegiance before we had class. The first book authorized by Congress for the public school systems in the United States of America was the Holy Bible. And we sat on our butts and allowed one woman to get rid of it in 1963. Now, since that time, all that the evil needs is just one little crack, and the devil's going to slide in there and he's going to make everybody try to forget about Jesus Christ. And I'm proud my son had the backbone to stand up to this counselor and tell us that, "Ma'am, everybody needs a relationship with Jesus Christ, including you."
Amen.
And he said, "Please just leave me alone with this boy." He said, "I believe I can save him. I believe I can salvage him." He said, "I've got him going. He's going to wrestle for me." We said, "We got him." He said, "I'm going to do something with this kid." But that's what I was talking about earlier when I told Aaron. I said, "I probably have a testimony on because I'm really proud of Jeremy, but I really want to pray for the school system because our kids are in the public schools a lot more hours than they're awake with us."
Yeah.
So without some good constitution,
32. Someone else. I was thinking of what Joe said. You don't have to be in church. You can have some good services in church, but you don't have to be in church to be around the Spirit of the Lord. It can go anywhere. I thought the other day when we went in there to see Rex, and I felt the Lord there, Joe. Even on the trip in and back, I was just sitting in the back seat listening to, I let Joe ride shotgun, Charlie, and I just enjoyed listening to him talk and everything. And I'm glad I had that privilege. I thought Joe said he was about 8 going on 9 years over the limit. Well, I'm almost 7, but that's okay. I always wondered, back when I was real young, how does people, and this shows you how the Lord takes care of things, or it shows me, but I always worried, when I get old, I'm going to worry myself to death about dying. And how does these old people do that? Because they're getting so close to death, I'm going to worry myself to death about it. But the older you get, me, less I worry about it. And that's right. And I don't worry about things like that. I'm no hurry to go, nothing like that. I'll probably go to every doctor I can go to stay here. But I'm still not worried about it. I'm looking forward to going to heaven. I wish I could stand here and tell you I've been perfect all my life, but I can't do it. If my life was painted on that wall right there, I'd probably have to hide my face. Because, I mean, that's just the way I feel about myself. But right now, I know the Lord has saved me without a shadow of a doubt. I know that down in my heart. And that's a good thing to know. I'm sure we all feel like that. I enjoyed the prayer we had since we started that last Wednesday night. I've enjoyed that. I can't really go down on my knees like I used to, but I was sitting over in the chair or the seat over there, and after a little bit, I opened my eyes and I just raised and looked around and looked up through here. The most beautiful sight I believe I've ever seen. Everybody knelt and praying. And the Lord's was listening to every prayer. Ain't it good that we can serve somebody like that?
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I really am. I'll try to shut up. God has privileged me in a lot of things. I thought today, Ethan, of course, my great-grandson, he plays that fall baseball. And they had a game out to high school at 2 o'clock. Well, the other team didn't show. So his little team played the coaches, which Todd's on one of them, his daddy, then they needed another guy, Corey's there. So I got to watch two grandsons and one great-grandson play ball. Now that's a privilege to be able to do that. God has let me live that long. I don't know how much longer I got. Don't worry about it. But I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'll try to shut up. Anybody else want to talk? Chris, I enjoyed that song. I really did. I think we need to go to prayer again. And we'll go ahead and see if there's anybody else. Anyone has a prayer request before we go? I didn't say nothing about it. I thought about the last two or three times saying it, but I have an uncle that's, he's married to my mom's sister, and he's about 90 years old, and he don't go to church. He won't even go to a funeral. He won't go inside a church door. And a good man, a good moral man, always worked hard, and any of you that's older may remember the Bibby brothers that used to be out on Route 21 and have garages and things. But anyway, George Bibby's his name, but I've had him on my mind a lot. But he just never did go to church, and I don't know if he ever will or not. But he just, he won't even go. He would always bring, when she was able to go, he would bring his wife and let her out and go home, or even at a funeral. But he would, when my dad died, him and my dad was pretty close, but he would not come inside the church to his funeral. But I don't know, I don't understand things like that, but he needs prayer. Prayer can change things. Prayer can change the coldest heart that ever was. The Lord can fix that. But that's my request. Let's remember Rob tonight. He'll be preaching here in a little bit. And if you want to pray right where you're at, or we can, or if you want to come up front, ever how you want to do it. But let's just all go to prayer right now. Thank you.
Get your hymnal. Let's all stand and turn the page. 196. 196.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? Ended the troubles and cares of the story land, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? Walking and talking with Christ the Supernal One, won't it be wonderful there? Praising, adoring the matchless Eternal One, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there? There where the tempest will never be sweeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Sure that forever the Lord will be keeping us, won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing, oh, won't it be wonderful there?
Anyone else? You ready, Brother Rob?
Still sounds good out there, doesn't it?
Amen.
Somebody this morning said, hope we get it all day. Well, it's still raining. It's still raining. If you've got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1 and pray for me. I am very aggravated this evening. Because of technology. Technology. Not this part, but part of this I put together at the house. So if it's too big, I'm sorry. If it's too small, I'm sorry. If it doesn't work, I'm sorry. But I did it, and it drove me crazy. I don't like technology. We don't get along well. and I don't know what I'm doing with it. So I was already aggravated at that, and then it's time to get ready, right? So I thought, well, I'm just going to wear what I wore this morning, put a jacket on. 10 minutes, couldn't find the right thing that looked good. It didn't match. Laura said I clashed. Then she says, get something that has this collar and that collar. And I'm like, I got too many that has that collar. I finally said, forget it, I ain't doing it. I just think, I ain't wearing a tie, I ain't wearing a jacket. So it is what it is. But God is good. Technology is bad, but God is good. I think technology is from the devil. I'm not sure. I think in my life anyway. In my life. John chapter 1. So pray for me. John, if I can go to John. Everybody in John? If you are, stand, please, for the reading, if you can, if you're able to stand. John 1, we'll start in verse 35. The word of the Lord says, and again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walketh, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, here, where dwellest thou? He said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And Jesus beheld him and said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, God, for this night you've given us, the evening, the day, Father. We thank you for the rain, God. We thank you because we needed it, and you know what we need, Father. You give it to us right when we need it. Lord, we think it was too long, but you know it was just right. And I'm thankful for that, God, because you know the future and we don't. Lord, I thank you for the gathering together of the family tonight, friends, Lord, and loved ones in your word, in your house, and your help us to get into one mind, Father, in one accord, Lord, as we do in our prayer. Help us just to gather together and focus on you tonight, God. Help us to look into your word and to see you and hear you and feel you. God, I ask you to speak to us right now in our life, where we're at and what we're going through, and more than that, what we're getting ready to go through, Father. I ask you to help me, Lord, to step back, Lord, so that you can step forward. Help me to quiet down, God, so you can speak up. That everything said tonight will be by you, for you, and through you, God, because that's the only way that every need can be met. And Father, I ask you to meet the needs in the church tonight, especially if one is lost, save him tonight. Lord, before we part ways, answer the prayers. God, we thank you that you listen to us. Lord, we thank you that you hear us. We thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We thank you what you're doing in our life, and most of all, what you're getting ready to do in our life. God, we just give you praise and glory and honor. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. For just a few minutes, I want to talk about the call of Jesus. The call of God in your life, the call in your life individually, in my life individually, of God. Now, when he calls, now first I wanted to ask, who does he call? Who does God call? All right, the Bible says in John 3:16, says this, for God so loved the world. Who is that? The world is everybody. The world is everybody. John tells us in 3:16, God so loved you and God so loved me. So look at the person beside you and tell them, say, tonight's message is for me.
I know it is because it says Philip.
Philip. All right. Now look back at him and say, it's for you too. So it's for everybody. God says in John 3:16, I come to the world so that the world can have salvation. I come to the world because I love the world. I come to the world because I created the world and I made you. I made you just like I wanted you. I made you just like I needed you. I made you just like I loved you. So John 3:16 tells us that it's for everybody. And if you look at Matthew 11, he says it like this. He says in John 3:16, the world. And Matthew says, come unto me, all. Now we don't like all. I don't like all. Because all means I have to include all. I have to include everybody. Look around. See if there's somebody you really don't like right now. Hope you don't. Not in here. But there might be someday. Oh, can y'all see that? See, that's my... The first part was Barry. He's good. Now it's me. See how small it is? That's mine. So I apologize. That's John 3:16 up on top. That's Matthew 11:28. Come unto me all, everybody. Is there people that we don't really care for? Yeah, don't answer that because we're in church. And I don't want you to say yes because then, you know, people might go, oh, they don't like somebody. Wonder who it is they don't like. Wonder who she or he's mad at. All means everybody. God calls to all. God calls to everybody. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor. Everybody that labors and are heavy laden. Everybody that needs rest. Everybody in this world. Everybody that has breath. Everybody that I created, I want to save. That's what he said. And Peter, he said, I'm not slack concerning my promises because I'm lazy or because I'm just getting around to it. He says, I'm slack because of you. And the ones that you know and love that aren't saved. I'm waiting on them. I'm waiting on them. Now, what are we doing to get them in? God says, I'm waiting on them. Are you waiting on them? What are we doing while we're waiting on them? Because we need to get them saved. We need to get them in. We need to get them into God's. We need to get them to church. Get them into God's family. Because the day's coming soon when they won't have a chance to get saved. Now, it's for everybody. But if you read Philippians, it says, down here at the end, it says, work out your own salvation. So he calls all, but he calls you. He calls the world, but he calls the individual. So look at somebody and say, this really is for me. Because Philippians says, my own individual salvation. So God's call, when Jesus calls, it's to everybody out of his love for all. He created the world and then he died for the world. He made the world and he lived for the world. And that's everybody ever in the world. And I don't like that part because there's people that I think they were so evil that I really don't think outside of God that I would want them to go to heaven. In God, I want everybody to go to heaven. In my human self, there's some that really didn't deserve it, because none of us do, but they really didn't deserve it, in my mind. But you know what God says? All. The world. Not just people in Jackson County, and Kanawha County, Putnam County, Roane County. Did I miss any of we? Or did I cover everybody's county? Boone County. Huh? Clay County. Right? Those six counties, everybody else. Good luck. You're not from those six counties. I died for those six. God says everybody. Everybody all together, everybody individually. That's the good thing. You don't have to make it because I make it, and I don't have to make it because you make it, and you can't make it because I make it, and I can't make it because you make it. Don't matter who my mom is, who my dad is, who my grandparents is. Care if Billy Graham's your dad. That don't get you in. You don't get a bye. It's you on your own with Jesus. But it's everybody with Jesus. So when he calls, his call goes to everybody. It's for everybody. He says, I call all unto me. I call all unto me. That's who he says. Now, if we look at John 1:43 in here, the Bible says it this way. If I can find it with my eyeballs. It says, now, the day following Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Follow me. The call of Jesus. Follow me. That's what he did. He went and called individually. Now, look at Matthew 9:9. It says, as Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, a guy that everybody loved. Oh, no, different Matthew. This Matthew was a tax collector. Nobody loved. But he said he saw Matthew, and he said unto him, follow me. Follow me. The simple call of Jesus, the simple call of God in your life is follow me. That's the call that everybody needs to hear, that everybody wants to, that everybody should hear and should heed. Follow me. It's that simple. Jesus doesn't make things hard. He makes them simple, and we make them hard. Salvation is so simple that a four-year-old child could understand it. We make it so complicated that a 44-year-old man can't understand it. Doesn't feel like they could do it. With Jesus, the four-year-old knows that they can make it, knows that they can do it, and they can follow. But with us, a 44-year-old says, man, I'm not sure about all that. You know, do you have a tie on when you preach? Do you have a coat on when you preach? Well, no, because you can't find one that matches right. And then you get mad at him, and you want to throw your whole closet away. And I don't even usually care about that stuff. But tonight, apparently, I did. And I was aggravated. So, do we make it right? Do we make it easy? All Jesus says is, follow me. Come unto me. Walk with me. Talk with me. Listen to me. I'm going to come and ask you. I'm going to call you by name. And he'll call you by name in your heart. And he'll say, just follow me. Matthew 11, he says, come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Leave it right there. Come unto me. So his call is, everybody, come unto me and follow me. How difficult is that? How difficult is it to follow the call of God, the call of Jesus in your life, when it's two simple little phrases, come and follow. Come unto me because I want you to. Follow me because I want you to. Come unto me and follow me. It's that simple. The call of Jesus is the call to holiness, but it's just a call to follow me. It's a call to righteousness, but it's just a call to follow me. It's a call to salvation, which is the call to follow me. It's the call to sanctification, but it's the call to follow me. It's the call to glorification, but it's all the call of follow me. Come unto me, follow me. Do as I do, do as I do. Not as just as I say. Do as I do and do as I say. When you come unto me, it's that simple. When you follow me, it's that simple. It's like the little kid following mom or dad behind them down the beach. You know, and they're walking in the beach and your foot makes footprints. And the little guy's behind you trying to walk in your footsteps. That's what Jesus says. Just do that. Just follow behind me. Step where I step. Walk where I walk. Go where I guide. Walk where I lead. Take the path that I take. If you just keep your eyes on me and keep your eyes on my feet and keep your eyes on my steps and you just walk step in step with me, it's that simple. My call is this. Just go where I go and do what I do and say what I say. Follow me. Come unto me and follow me. Jesus makes it that easy. It's that simple. How many people were saved under the age of 10? Let's do it this way. All right, how many were saved under the age of 5? 5 or under? Anybody 5 or under? 6? Well, how old? All right. Anybody 6? It's like an auctioneer. Did I hear 6? Give me 6. 6, 6 and a half, 6 and a half, 6, 7. 7 years old? 7. Stand up. 7 years old. Right there. Understands it at 7, still here today. 7. Understood it at 7, still here today. It's not difficult. 7. 6. Oh, 6. He beat you, sorry. All right, you can be seated. 6 years old, 7 years old, and still here today. Understand, walking and following. Why? Because it's not difficult when Jesus says to come unto me and Jesus says follow me. It's just to do that. That's all Jesus wants you to do is just come unto me and follow me. Just by that. Just that. So his call is this. Come unto me and follow me. Now, what did Jesus do to prove that? What did Jesus do to make that happen? What did Jesus do? All right, this one here. I like this one. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Just walking. He's out there walking. He's looking for something. He's on a mission. So he sees Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, and they're out there working, right? They're working their daily lives. He's on the job. And he goes by them, and he sees them fishing, and he says unto them, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Follow me, and I won't change your job. I'll just change what you're going after. You're still going to be fishers, but of men and not fish. He says, what you're after now, what you're going to be after now, when we get down here, we'll see that. But what you're going to do is go after a different type of animal that you can't get with a worm or whatever you get fish with. Other stuff. I don't fish, you can tell. You get them with God. I'm going to change your life, the way you live, what you do. And I'm following me, and I'm going to show you how to get others. All right, let's move on to the next one. Because let's see what Jesus... What did Jesus do? He didn't just ask us to follow him. He didn't just ask us to walk holy, to walk righteously. He didn't just ask us to do the right thing at the right time. He didn't just ask us to pray to God and listen to God. What he did is he did some stuff. Now, I like this first one here. This is what it says. Because Jesus doesn't just let things happen. In your life, Jesus doesn't just let things happen. Jesus makes things happen. He causes things to happen. Right here in John 1:43, you'll see highlighted in blue, Jesus went forth. He findeth and he saith. He did three specific things to get this one. He's going after Philip right now. And the Bible says that he wasn't just walking around happenstancely going, I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder what's going to happen over here. I wonder what might be over here. No, the Bible says he went looking for Philip. He went into Galilee looking for Philip. And when he found Philip, why does he find him? Because he's looking for him. In your life, Jesus is looking for you. When you're out there and you feel alone, know this, Jesus is looking for you. Jesus doesn't save you and say, all right, go, good luck, see you at the end, good riddance, Godspeed, meet you when you die. No, he says, I'm going to be out there, I'm going to go looking for you. That's what he did when he was here. He said, I'm going to go forth, and I'm going to go looking, I'm going to go seeking, I'm going to go finding, because I know I need Philip, and Philip needs me. I want Philip to do something for me. God wants you to do something for him. And when he's ready to talk to you about it, he will go and find you where you're at. He won't wait for you to happen to come to him. He will go and find you where you're at. He'll meet you in your life where you're at, in your life, what you're doing. He says, I will go, I will find, and when I get there, I will talk, I will speak, I will let you know what I need you to do. I'm not going to say, here, I've got something I need you to do, now go figure it out. I hope you figure it out. You might figure it out. No, he says, this is what I want you to do. This is my plan for you. Here's what my instructions are for you. He says, I'm going to look for you. I'm going to find you. And when I do, I'm going to instruct you and talk to you and tell you exactly what it is that is my plan. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you. Psalm says, I think about you all the time. What I want you to do. You see, God has a plan for you for your life. Well, preacher, I'm 70 years old. I'm beyond that. No. No one's beyond the plan of God. Everybody do this. Go. All right, you have breath. That means you still can work for God. When do we retire? You can let it. You can breathe now. When do we retire from God's work? When we retire from this life. There is no place of retirement out of the work of God. There's always place, always time, always needed. And God said, I will let you know. I will instruct you. I will say to you what I want you to do. I will lead you in the path I want you to take. I will direct and guide the steps that I have for you. If you'll listen to me, I'm going to search, seek, and find. And when I do, I'm going to talk. Now, we also see in Matthew 4:18 when he goes after Peter, and it's not going to be up here. Matthew 4:18, he says it like this. He went out walking. And when he was walking, he found Peter. And Andrew, when he was walking, he went out walking. And when he found Matthew, he was passing by. He was on his way there to pass by there. He went to where he was. The good thing about God is in your life, he will go where you are. He will go wherever you are. Doesn't matter where it's at. In the good times and bad times, in the hard times and the rough times, in the sad times, in the scary times, God will go wherever you are. God will meet you in that place that you're at. You don't have to worry, will God be here? So Jesus will go. Jesus went, and he found, and he spoke. What else did he do? In 1 Peter, the Bible tells us, Jesus committed no sin while he was down here. Jason talked about that this morning. I think it was Jason. He committed no sin. None. Zero. Have you ever stopped and thought about that for just a minute? Just a second. 1 second. Let me ask you this. When you were a kid, did your mom and dad ever say something to you that you wanted to backtalk them about? All right. Now let me ask you this way. Did they ever say something to you that you did backtalk them about?
One time.
Jesus never did. That alone blows my mind. He never backtalked mom and dad. Not once. And if anybody could have, he could have. But he didn't. So he chose to commit no sin the whole time that he was down here when the devil was giving him opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to commit that sin. He said no every time the devil wanted him to. He said no. And many times when he said no, he backed it with Scripture. He found strength to not do it in Scripture. You know, the psalmist wrote, thy word will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against you. And that's what Jesus showed us. He was very tired and hungry. The Bible says when he came up from being baptized, the Spirit of God came down like a dove and landed on him. And then Father spoke from heaven. And so there was Jesus, there was a Spirit, and there was God right there, the Father, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost right there. Then he went up into the wilderness for 40 days and fasted. The Bible says he didn't eat and didn't drink nothing. How many of you could not eat for 2 days. I couldn't eat for 2 days. I couldn't not eat for 2 days. I would pass out, I think, probably one day. The Bible says for 40 days he did that. And at the end of 40 days, at the end of 40 days of not eating and not drinking, the Bible says the devil came to tempt him and tempted him with food. So Jesus, to get through that temptation, didn't rely on his own self. He relied on the scripture that he had hid in his heart. The Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone. And that's what Jesus quoted to the devil. He said, thus it is written in the good book. And so Jesus made it through all of them. So he went through life and he didn't commit a sin. Why? Because of you. Because of you. You're the reason he didn't do that. The Bible also says here that there was no guile found in his mouth. Not a bad word, not a bad thought, not a bad action. He was perfect. He did that for you and for me. Now, look at John 9:35. When Jesus heard, this is the guy that was blind. Remember this guy? He was blind. And Jesus healed him. Jesus healed him on Sabbath day. Jesus healed him. And they got mad at this guy. And they're like, who healed you? And he said, I don't know, some guy. And, well, who is this guy? Well, I don't know, but he healed me. On the Sabbath day? Really? So they got mad at him. And they wouldn't tell him. And so they kicked him out of the temple because he got healed on Sabbath day. They kicked him out of the temple. Cast him out. The Bible says here, when Jesus heard that they cast him out. When Jesus got word that they cast him out, he went and found him. He went after him. Because that's what Jesus will do. When the world comes against you, when the devil attacks you, when your friends cast you out, God says, I'll be there for you. I'll be there with you. What am I going to do? I'm going to be right where you need me to be. Right where you want me to be. I did it while I was down here living. I did it while I was walking on this earth. I did it while I was passing through. And now I'm going to do it for you. I'll do it while you're here. You see, God, Jesus isn't here, but the Holy Spirit is here. So anywhere you are, God is there. So when you are in bad way, God will find you. So God's call, it's easy. It's follow. It's come to me. Bless you. It's follow me. What did Jesus do? He did a lot just to make it right. Sorry, that's just, we can preach on. It's not wrong to bless people. So, what did he do? Jesus did everything. He lived for you, he died for you, and he will continue to go where you're at. He'll continue to find you when you need. So, what is our response? If you go to the next one, our response. In Matthew 4:20, Jesus is talking to Peter and Andrew, and this is what happens. This is what happens. He said to them, they were out there fishing. Do you know they were fishing with each other and with John and the Father? And they had a couple brothers, and they were all in boats with servants out there fishing, right, on this day. And they're out there casting nets out and pulling them in and getting fish. And they're just living life and doing their job. And I think of it like this, though. What gets me is they're with Dad. They're with Dad, who's their boss. And Jesus walks by, and he says, come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway, dropped it all. The Bible says they got up, left Dad with the servants in the boat, and followed Jesus. Didn't question, didn't ask, didn't do anything but get up and go. And what if we all, when Jesus called, just got up and went? What if we all, when Jesus asked us to do something, just got up and did it? What if we all, when Jesus spoke, just obeyed? Just simply obeyed. Because that's what they did. The Bible says that they left everything on the spot, got up and went and followed him. Now, verse 9, Matthew 9:9. Passing Matthew, he's sitting there. He says, follow me. He arose and followed, got up. Sitting, getting money. That was his job, to get money from you. All right, you come pay me. You owe the government $10, you pay me $20 because I want $10. And you had to do it. You had to. You didn't have a question, you didn't have an option. Pay me or go to jail, right? So he's sitting there getting this money, getting the money that he wants, not that he deserves, but that he wants. And Jesus says, oh, follow me. And he says, okay, and he got up and went. Just, who needs your money? I don't need your money. When the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and Jesus Christ, the Savior of all, says, follow me, I'm just going to get up and go. Do we drop all like that and follow God in those moments? Or do I count the cost? Because the cost is in my mind. If I'm going to count the cost, am I counting the cost in the mind of me? Or am I counting the cost in the mind of God? Am I counting what I want and like? Or am I counting what God wants and likes? Am I counting what I think I need? Or am I counting what God knows I need? Because they're often different, often not the same. I always say, if my opinion differs from God's opinion, one of us is wrong and one of us has never been wrong. And it ain't me. I know it's hard to believe, but I was wrong. I was incorrect one time. Actually, I wasn't. I thought I was, but I was mistaken in that even. So it was just, God says, get up, follow me. Do I just get up and follow? Do I leave it all behind? You know, one guy, one place, Jesus said, they said, God will go wherever you want me to go. Jesus will go where you, he says, then drop everything and come follow me. One guy says, let me go bury my father. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. Leave mother and father. Follow me. Do we have that kind of thought process? That no matter what, I'll follow God on the spur of the moment, not thinking about what I want, what I think I need, what I like? Do we have the attitude that God is right and always right in the moment and spur of the moment and on that second, every time it's right? Or do I think, I don't know, God. See, God's given us a way out, all right? God's given us ways out, right? We call it a fleece. You know that? You know what it is? Fleece is when we're testing to make sure it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong to throw a fleece out, but let me ask you this. If you throw a fleece, if God asks you to do something, think about this for just a minute. If God asks you to do something or asks me to do something, and I throw a fleece out, how's the fleece going to be answered? The way God asked me to do it, right? So God asked me, all right, Rob, I need you to walk over to the organ. Well, I would rather walk over to the piano. God, all right, if Brian's wearing a black shirt, I'll walk over to the organ. Brian's wearing a black shirt. Well, hold on. If Pam's wearing a blue shirt, all right, God, if Pam's wearing a blue shirt, because you answered that one, but I'm not, so Pam's wearing a blue shirt. So God, for the third time, says go to the organ. Was he wrong the first time? You know, that happened. That happened to me one time. There was this big, giant decision I was making. Huge decision in my life. And I said to God, all right, in a ladder scale, if this here is a point, at this point and down, the answer is A. This point and up, the answer is B. All right? If it's in the middle, the answer is pray some more. He'd already told me what to do, right? He already told me. So the answer was B. But that wasn't the comfortable thing, so I started praying about it anyway. Right? So I'm driving one day to work, and I know the place. I could take you to the place that God lined me out. I could take you, and it was in the morning. I could almost tell you the exact time where God said, didn't I already tell you? Didn't I already tell you? Are you going to listen to me or not? Just listen to me. Point blank. Are you going to listen to me? Well, of course I'm going to listen to you. So I went right there and made that decision in concrete, and the rest is great history. Why? Because God was right the first time. Is a fleece wrong? No. But which is better, to do it the first time that God asked me to or the third time that God asked me to? The blessing's waiting. The blessing will be greater if we do it the first time. And God's never wrong. So if he asks us to do it, he wants us to do it, we should just get up and do it. We should get up and go and follow him immediately and do what he wants us to do immediately because he's got a blessing waiting. Now, if we wait too long, he's going to pass it on to somebody else. But that's another sermon. Don't wait too long. Get up and do it. All right? Throw out a fleece, but get up and do it. Why? Because that's what we need. What's the bad response? The rich young ruler. He says, sell everything that you got, follow me. So he drops his head sadly and walks away. That's the wrong response, to walk away. The right response, straightway, immediately, rise up and follow. Because when God asks us to do something, when God calls us, it's not difficult or it's not hard. It's not hard. It might be difficult, but it's not hard. Because God never asks you to do anything too hard for you to do. But he's asking me to get up and talk in front of people. Well, join the club. The worst thing in the world to me, and you've heard this from 100 people in school, was talking, giving reports in front of people. I didn't like giving reports. I didn't like giving speeches. In college, I took a speech class. Speech class that the whole semester, you only had to give two speeches. Because I didn't like it. And it was it, too. Because I don't like talking in front of you people. You scare me. You do. You scare me. Not just you. Everybody. Right? Everybody. But he was asking me to sing. Well, get up and sing. But I can't sing. Trust me. If he's asking you to, you can. He's not asking me to. Yes, he's not asking me to. If God asks you to do it, ask me to do it. He makes us able to do it. He doesn't ask us to do anything hard. Difficult because circumstances may mean I need to make a difficult, uncomfortable decision. But not hard because I can do it. So what's our response when God calls? It's never something hard. It's easy. Come follow me. He's already done most of the work, so what's our response? Now, after we say yes, because I know you'll say yes when God calls, when God says, I need you, I want you to do something for me, I know you'll say yes because that's the right answer, the right response. So after we say yes, then what is our work? Our work comes down to John chapter 1, all right? Next one, John 1. Philip, find it. Y'all like how I highlighted certain words? I amaze myself sometimes. That I could even get it done is the amazing part. Yeah, I don't know. It probably won't happen again, though. Too aggravating. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? He said, come and see. Come and see. You see, Philip did what Jesus did. Remember when Jesus went forth, findeth Philip, and then said unto him. So then Philip goes and findeth Nathanael and says unto him, you know what we're supposed to do now? We're supposed to go forth, find people and say, come see. Go forth, find people and say, come see. Go forth, find people and say, come with me. And come, because I can't invite you to church and then not show up. That wouldn't be very good, would it? So it's come see, come see, come with me. And let's go to church. Like Aaron talked about, let's attend church, says the preacher to the Sunday night crowd who's at church. Come see. That's what Philip does. Jesus says, now, go into the world and find them. Go into the highways and find them. Go into the byways and find them. Go into the hedges. Go into the street down the road. Go into the other office. Go across the road. Go to the people you like. Go to the people you don't like. Go to the people you don't know. Tell them, find them and say, come see. Come follow me. Now, John 1:40. One of the two which heard John speaking when he talked about Jesus being the Lamb of God was Andrew, Simon's brother, and he first finds his brother Simon and says unto him, so he went and found him, and then he spoke to him, he talked to him, he said, come see Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. How awesome would it be for you to be able, and me to be able to say, I brought somebody to Jesus. I went to find him, and I found him, and I spoke to him, and I invited him, and they came, and then I got to introduce them to Jesus. How awesome would that be? That's what he tells us to do. He says to us, go out, just like I did, go find him, then go speak to them. And then he says, then tell him, come see. Go to the next one, and I'm just about done. Woman at the well. You know the woman, the Samaritan woman. She's at the well, right? She has her encounter with Jesus, but it happens, and she does exactly what we're supposed to be doing. She does exactly what we're supposed to be doing. She goes. She left her water pot. She left everything, just like Matthew. She left everything, and she went. She went to them. She didn't wait till they came to her. How often do I go to people, or do I sit and wait? Well, if they come talk to me, I might mention Jesus. If they come talk to me, I might bring up church. If they come talk to me, how about if I go to them? Because she went her way to the city to find the people and said unto them, because that's what we're supposed to do. And she says, come see. Come see what's going on. Come see this man. Come experience God in this place. God drops down in this place every time we come together. Aaron talked about it this morning. When two or three are gathered together in this place, now 229 on a Sunday morning, 205 on a Sunday morning, there's two or three of us there if there's that many. There's two or three of us here. So the Bible says where there's two or three gathered, I will be there in the midst, dropping down, showing up, showing strong, showing my, showing that I'm God, ready to meet the need of all the people, whatever it might be, from finances to emotions to spiritual needs to salvation. He says, I will be there. So it's time for us to take what we get and what we have and what we know, go find them and tell them, come see what's going on in here. Come see this man, Jesus, who's meeting the needs of the people that's here. Come experience God. When's the last time I've done that? Not you, me. Aaron asks us every time, think of somebody that you want to see saved in our revival and call out the name. But when's the last time I've asked that person to come to church? Ask yourself that. When's the last time I've asked that person to come to church? I prayed for him at least twice now, three times now, Wednesday, Sunday, Sunday. But have I ever opened my mouth and asked him to come see a man named Jesus who's meeting with us when we gather together? You see, they're not getting saved on their own. They're not coming to church on their own. They come to church because you and I ask them. That's why they come. They come to Jesus because they got an invitation. First from him, second from us. To come in here. To come to him. The call of God in your life. Come follow me. Nothing hard. He did all the work already. What's your response? Hopefully you've already said yes. If you haven't said yes to Jesus, he wants to save you. And that can be tonight. As we gather here at the altar, Jesus meets us. He says, come unto me, you who aren't saved, and I'll save you. Come unto me, you who are saved, and I'll meet that need that you have. So tonight, as we stand and get ready to sing, Jesus says, come. Come unto me for whatever you have need, and I'll meet that need.
Page 23.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam farther and farther away? Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling, is tenderly calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest, calling today, calling today. Bring him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn you away. Calling today.
Anybody have anything? Do we have the offering things? Are they back there anywhere? All right. Amen. Everybody who believes in anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit and healing, The Bible says if you have one sick among you, bring him before the church, before the elders, anoint them, and pray. Gather around the prayer to open, gather around the prayer to close. God is good all the time. And all the time, that's right, that's right. Anybody else? Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, we'll meet right here again. Everybody come together and pray again. Pray for each other, pray for the church, pray for the body. There's a couple of strapping young men back there ready to take up the offering as you leave. Saturday night, 6 o'clock. 5 o'clock, eat, right?
Yes.
5 o'clock, eat. Don't eat dinner at home. If you do, eat dinner twice. Once at home, once here. Come ready to eat. Fill your stomach. And then ready to fill your spiritual stomach. Karen Peck and New River. And the Kuntzes. Or the Kuntzes and Karen Peck and New River.
Yeah.
Say it the right way.
I haven't seen their website, though.
Only special people get the website. I ain't one of them. I can't get you there. I can't. Me and technology, we don't get along.
I saw the Karen Peck and New River website, but I haven't seen the Kuntzes.
When you're this good, you don't need it. That's what it is.
We don't have a website yet. We do have a Facebook page, but we don't have a website.
That's Facebook.
About as big as we get.
So everybody come out, invite out, invite everybody, bring everybody to have a good time and to eat spiritually.